It's the third game of this three-game homestand as the Wolves bring in the Dragons of MSU Moorhead tonight. It's the annual Blackout Cancer Game at Dakota Bank Stadium. We've got our next installment of Pack Chat as we bring in the senior from California, Blake Clay, to the program. Thanks for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure, for sure. I've been looking forward to doing this now for a couple of years, so I'm glad we can get this taken care of. First touchdown of your Northern career last week against Southwest. Walk me through the block punt and the return for the score.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. Coach May does a great job at scheming up the right place, the right scheme for every week. It's always changing, and I think that's something that's really good about all of our special teams units. Whether it's punt return, punt, kickoff return, it doesn't matter. It's always changing. Saturday, we had a specific call. We were going to have two of our guys, I think it was Rich and GB, walk back at the start of the count when they, you know, they said they're like ready, and then we shift. Well, they changed their call as well, and I was coming off the edge. And all of a sudden I hear them, they're yelling, I think it was blue. They're like, blue, 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 blue. And, you know, football terms, red is right, blue is left usually. So I'm like, okay, they're blocking down. And I see my guy that was supposed to block me is looking down. I forgot who was it. I think Antonio was inside of me. So he's looking at Ant, and I see him, like, tighten down. I'm like, oh, I'm tightening down. And then I hear Schmidt from sideline, go get it, Blake, go get it. Before the play even started, I'm like, I'm going to go block this punt. I'm going to go get it. So I'm tightening down, and, you know, I'm getting excited. I'm like, okay, can't jump off sides. I'm running off the edge, and then all of a sudden, like, I'm like, oh, I might not get there. There's like a good enough snap, a good operation. I'm like, I might not get there. And I see Rich just come in, and it was cool because a couple weeks ago, Rich was on punt. He had a chance to block a punt, and he thought he was going to hit the punter. So he like shied away from it.
Yeah.
You know, we're just giving Rich a hard time in meetings and stuff. We're like, oh, what? Like, are you scared of the ball or whatever? To see it go off of his hand was awesome, to see that like full circle. And I just remember seeing the ball go up. Uh-oh, it's going towards the sideline. I got to go get this. So I'm running. It took a nice bounce right into my hands, and then I was like, I am real close to the sideline. So I had a plant on my right foot, spin around, and I looked, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, if I get caught by an O-lineman right now, I might as well just hang up my cleats, because they had three O-linemen and their shield guys, and it was basically just those three guys and the punter. And it was cool because everybody else who was in that punt block saw it happen, so they all started picking up people except for Rich. Rich started celebrating. He's jumping up and down as I got – it's so funny on film. And so then I'm running down, weaved in and out, and it was just like from there, you kind of like you just blacked out, especially since for me, like, never thought I was going to score, especially in college. Pick six is really the only thing, and then I get to pick up a punt block, and it was just ecstatic, and seeing all the guys afterwards and just celebrating with everyone, and it was just a great time.
Staying in bounds. I couldn't believe how you did it. Amazing. How much pride do you take on special teams? Sometimes it can be a kind of forgotten area of the game. Everyone talks offense and defense, but special teams is just as big as those other two.
It is. There's three aspects of the game: offense, defense, special teams. And if you can win two out of three of those, you most likely win the game. And usually it comes down to special teams. If you can score on special teams, well, I don't know the stat off the top of my head, but you probably win majority of the time if you're scoring on special teams. And it's just something that, for me personally, I've always kind of had an underdog story. I was a walk-on when I came in. Didn't travel my second year. I redshirted my first year. Didn't travel my second year. And I was like, okay, like, I got to make a name for myself. Made it on special teams. And I was like, okay, whatever I can do, I'm going to go do it. Ended with quite a few tackles on my junior year and last year as well. To me, special teams is the area of the game where I can make an impact in. So why not do what I can? And take, like you said, like, take a lot of pride in that. I joke around with the guys all the time that I'm special teams All-American. Me and GB, we're always joking around that we're special teams All-American. So it's just really cool to take that. And like, and I also, like, I'm a backup block snapper. I'm backup holder. I just want to be able to do whatever I can, whether that's run down on kickoff, run down as a punt on flyer, go block a punt, hold the snap from Zach Smith if I need to, snap the ball to Carter Campbell if I need to, kind of do whatever I can and just kind of be a full-on, like, Swiss Army knife. That's what I was called in high school, so just kind of do that.
When people can address you now, it's All-American, special teams
All-American. Special teams All-American.
Blake Clay, absolutely. You got hurt, looks like. You came into the studio here with the walking boot on. What happened?
Yep. It was funny. It was in the fourth quarter. We had a pretty lengthy lead, and I was like, okay, like, it's my time. Like, I'm going to go in, and I can make an impact on the game defensively now. I scored a touchdown. Now let's go get an interception. Let's go get a couple tackles. Literally, first play, it was so unfortunate. First play, runs away from me. I fold over. I'm pursuing to the ball. I'm like, all right, like, I'm gonna, if this guy stays up, I'm gonna get a punch on the ball. If he happens to break it, I'm gonna tackle him. Well, I think it was Jarrell made a really good tackle, tackled him on spot, and I was coming into the pile late, and it just got rolled up on my ankle. They like snapped so quick. Usually, like, when that happens, like, it's happened a lot, and you kind of get up, be like, ooh, that kind of hurt, and you kind of like step on it, and it hurts again, and then you get going, and you're like, okay, like, it's fine, like, it's a pain, but it's there, and it's fine. My cleat was partially off, so I put on my cleat quick. The laces were still tied, so I don't have to tie those again, which is nice. I was like, ooh, so I kind of, I'm hopping on it, and I'm like, I got to get going. Like, they're about to run another play, and then I look, and Blaze was down. I'm like, okay, I got time to figure this out. So I'm like kind of hobbling, and I'm like trying to put weight on it, and it did not feel good at all. Everybody was over checking out Blaze, both Brooke and Jordan, then doctors. And so I was like, okay, like I got to get off the field. So I'm coming off the field, and I was just like, okay, I got to get down. I got to sit down. And then really cool. I think there's like high school trainers that are there right now that are doing that, and they're all wearing Groton stuff. And it was really cool because it's like two or three of them are like, hey, like, what do you need? You need to be careful. I'm like, yeah, can you guys help me? So they carried me over to the sideline, got over to the sideline. Got checked out by Brooke. Brooke was like, hey, do you want the doctor to look at it? I'm like, nah, like, I'm fine. Just tape it up. Let's go. So she tapes it up. And she's like, all right, put some pressure on it. Let's get you back in the game. So taped it up, walk in on the sideline, and I go to push off, and it was just a shooting pain. Mm. I'm like, oh, dude, are you kidding me? And I was like, this was like, I had time to kind of go in the game and make an impact. And then so I sit back down. Brooke takes the tape off. She goes, do you want the doctor to look at it? And I was like, no, I'll be fine. She's like, do you want a boot and crutches? I was like, no, I'll be fine. I'll take the rest of this game off and I'll be good. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, I want the doctor to look at it. I'm like, well, then you call the shots. You have the doctor look at it. Doctor came in and he was like, yeah, it looks like the way it feels and stuff. I think like you tore some ligaments and some tendons in there. I'm like, dude, like, are you serious? Like, I got 4 games left in my senior year. This is it for me. Like, didn't want to go out that way. It was funny. All the guys afterwards were like, hey, at least you scored a touchdown. I was like, yeah, that's good. On Saturday, I was pretty upset, just very sad that, like, possibly that was it. Mm-hmm. And then I wake up Sunday morning. I'm like, my ankle actually feels really good. Like, all right. Like, it wasn't too swollen. Still was in the boot and the crutches and stuff. Going Monday, get checked out. Brooke's like, hey, like, if a miracle happens, you might be able to play on Saturday. I'm like, all right, cool. Get checked out, or went and got x-rays. Nothing broke, nothing fractured, which we kind of knew that's kind of what the direction was. It was, if anything, it was ligaments and tendons. So got it checked out Tuesday. Got checked out by the doctor. The doctor was like, everything's reassuring. Like, I thought that you're going to be out for quite a while, and now you're not. Start running around later this week at practice, see how it feels, and if you can play Saturday, let's play. I'm like, sweet, this is what I want to hear. So I've been really hammering in the training room and the rehab for the past couple of days, and really just trying to get it to be a playing ability.
Wow, good for you. Knock on wood, hopefully it all works out for you here in the not too distant future. So I know we're a couple of weeks removed now from Duluth, but what a win that was.
Oh, my gosh.
34-31. Walk me through the win. Walk me through the locker room afterwards.
It was just – it's one of those games that, like, you always remember. Throw back to the Bemidji game last year. You throw back to the Wayne game a couple years ago, the comeback. It's one of those games that you're just always going to remember. We're up 34-24, right, with, like, 5 minutes left in the game. And I'm seeing people, like, leave the stadium. And I'm like
– stop.
Yeah, literally, I'm like, stop. I'm like, don't leave. But it was kind of like one of those things where it's like, okay, cool. Like, our fans have this much faith in us that we're up by 10.
Good point.
But I was just like, okay, like, this game's not over. And I remember, like, some of the guys on the sideline were, like, celebrating and stuff. I'm like, dude, like, they can go score right now. They can go get an onside. And that's exactly what had happened. Mm-hmm. They got the onside. I remember I was on the onside team, and they had their two kickers out there. And one was facing right at me, and one was facing the other way. And I'm like, kick it to me. I played slow pitch softball all summer. I'm like, I've been fielding ground balls. Like, kick it to me. Like, I'm ready. And he faked it to me, and I was like, dang it. And then kicked away, and it was perfectly executed by them. T.Y., man, a P.I. called, and it was – very questionable, we'll say. Mm-hmm. Very questionable. As a DB, I don't ever think a lot of things are D, but or PI. Very questionable. And then I'm thinking to TY, and I asked him this on our podcast that I do for the school.
Which you can find at?
Spotify, Behind the Pack, on Spotify and on Instagram. So
there you go.
Little plug. Yeah, a little plug. We can do that. And so I asked TY, and I'm like, dude, so, like, you get this PI on this out route. You jumped it, made a great play on it, and they come right back at you. Are you thinking that they're going to run a double move on you? And he's like, yeah, I thought that for a second, but I was like, if I'm going to go make this play, I'm going to go make it now. I was standing right there on the sideline because I try to help out as much as I can. I'm pretty knowledgeable of the game, and I feel like I know a lot of what's going on. So I'm, like, always yelling out stuff from the sideline, trying to help the DBs that are on the field, stuff that we see in film and stuff. The ball's coming, and I'm yelling at TY, out, because he's running an out route, and I'm like, oh, he might cut this up. Well, Wall Jasper just turned his shoulders and threw it, and T.Y. jumped it perfectly, and seeing that right there was awesome. Kneeling the game out, and then, you know, you're in the locker room after the game, and we're all celebrating, and music's blasting, and we're waiting for Coach Schmidt to come in, and he comes in, and everybody's just jumping and stuff. And I know Cade Trenhill's got a really cool video of all that happening. It was just an awesome atmosphere all the way around.
So what I'm hearing is, basically, T.Y. made the play because you pretty much called it.
Sure, we can go with that. All right with that.
No doubt about it. Amazing. So you're moving on to Moorhead. How difficult is this to slow down? I mean, this is Jack Strand we're talking about. He's basically the best quarterback that this conference has to offer. He's one of the best D2 quarterbacks. How do you slow him down? How do you slow down the Dragons?
It's one of those things, like, you're not going to stop the bleeding. You just got to limit it.
Yeah.
They're going to throw the ball as many times as they throw the ball, 60, 70, 80 times a game, whatever it may be. I think that we have a really good plan in place to kind of change up a couple things and, you know, throw some new things at him and kind of show that, like, you're not going to see the defense that you saw last week. You're not going to see the defense that you saw the week before. And that's kind of something that we always do every week is we're always – I mean, that's just the game of football. You have a different game plan up for every week. But he does a really good job. He's got the same receivers he's had for 4 years. So it's just working with – it's like when you play like a team in high school and all they did is play from when they were 5 years old until their high school. Like they did play 7-on-7 in the offseason. It's one of those games where it's just like they know exactly what they're doing. All their option routes and stuff, they know, hey, I'm going to go in and Jack's going to throw it to me in and whatever it may be. It is a very difficult task, and it is like something that is really difficult to do. That's why they put up as many points as they do. To complement their offense, our offense also does the same. I think we have a really strong offense that can put up an enormous amount of points any week. So I'm really excited to kind of see that and see kind of it all come into fruition, see all come into play this weekend.
Can't wait. No question about it. So at Lucerna High School, freshman year, 5'90".
Yep.
You had to make weight on the team. Tell us the story about how you made weight.
So making weight was actually in eighth grade.
Okay.
Pop Warner football, playing at La Mirada Pop Warner. You have to make a certain weight at weigh-ins before the season started. And usually it's for all the heavier guys. So that way you're not 250 pounds playing against someone who's 90 pounds like I was.
Right.
At that time I was like probably I think the minimum weight you had to make was probably 85 pounds or something along those lines. I remember before the weigh-ins, you had to weigh in the day before your first game to certify, and then you had to weigh in every game. Weigh in before the first game, and I remember all my buddies were spitting in cups and they were didn't eat anything all day to make the maximum weight. And then I'm over here like eating everything I can that day at school. They packed a huge lunch, like chugging like the gallon of waters that you buy from the gas station. I'm chugging those just to make weight, and I barely made it. Well, the unfortunate thing about all that is that they give leeway for the bigger guys, and they say that your pads weigh 8 or 9 pounds, whatever it is. Well, pads don't weigh that much. And especially for me, as like a skill position, I was playing like linebacker and running back at the time. Like, I wanted to be able to move fast. I was already light, so I'm like, I need to move fast. I'm not going to make up 20 pounds in pads. Mm-hmm. I wore like a back plate and stuff, and I was like, okay, I had to make, I think it was 83 pounds. I was not making 83 pounds. I was 80 pounds soaking wet with pads on.
Sure.
So I had to find a way to figure it out. And I remember me and my dad were looking in the garage. He was like, oh. Here's your new cup. Hands me a 3-pound metal fishing weight. I was like, all right. So he's like, all right. So we had this whole game plan. And then we also found at the thrift store, we found ankle weights. Mm. So like they were a pound each. So what would happen was I'd go into weigh in before the game, put the 3-pound metal fishing weight in my cup because they had to do cup checks too. Mm-hmm. And then I tape the ankle weights on my back plate. It was under the jersey and stuff. So I step on the scale and I was barely made weight every single game. I also had to chug a gallon of water before weigh-ins. So barely making weight with all of this extra stuff just to play football. It was funny because they would like, you go through equipment checks in Pop Warner football. You got to turn around, you got to show your cleats, make sure you're not wearing metals, make sure that they're good. You got to make sure you have your thigh pads in, your knee pads in, and the shoulder pads are good, and the helmet's not cracked and all this stuff. And one of the things that they had to do was a cup check. So you had to knock on your cup. Every time I knock, it's like ding, 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 ding. And I was like, okay, totally not obvious, but whatever. So then you get back, take it all out, put it in my bag, and go and play football. But yeah, going into my freshman year of high school, I was 90 pounds. I was 5'90", so smallest guy on the team by far.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things that I prided myself in. And the same thing that I was telling you guys earlier was that, like, it's an underdog story. Like, I was always severely underweight, but I always took pride in my tackling abilities and my tackling skills. Especially playing DB and running back, and we ran the wing tee in high school. So, you know, I find ways to get in and out on offense. But it was just a ton of fun to kind of grow, and it was crazy because every year I'd come back and, you know, I was 5'90" my freshman year. My sophomore year I was like 5'2", 120. And then my junior year was like 5'6", 150. And then so it was slowly moving up like the entire way. And so it was really cool to kind of see that progression. And it's really funny to look at pictures from my freshman year standing with my sister. And she's 5 foot, so I was 5 foot. And then my senior, the same picture, and it's just like, okay, like I'm almost a foot taller than her now. Mm-hmm. So just real cool to kind of late bloomer for sure, and it kicked in at the right time and was able to make an impact to my later years the way I wanted to with how much bigger I was. I was still small, but.
And now you're special teams All-American.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah, gotta love it. So walk me through the recruiting process to get to Northern State. Yeah. Were there other schools out there that were calling your name? Were there other schools that you were looking at? Why Northern?
I had two teammates in high school that had a recruiting coach based out of Arizona who knew Coach Irie.
Okay. Okay.
That's how I got in contact. I was trying to get recruited and nothing was really working. All the D3s and NAIAs, they were kind of like hitting my line, and I was like, I want to go D2. I want to have an opportunity to be on scholarship. Was looking at a bunch of like D3s and stuff and looking at them. And then I had two buddies from high school that actually committed here, and they helped get me in contact with Coach Irie through that same recruiting coach, Coach Perrone. Ever since I got in contact with them, it was just like, it was really cool because they made me feel seen, even though like I'm assuming from the start, it wasn't a scholarship option for them. Mm-hmm. But it was like, hey, like they were always asking, they were talking to me, hey, how's baseball going? How's football going? At that time, I was playing like this like Renegade football, because in California, there was no football season until halfway through the spring season, and then we only got 5 games. So anyways, there was this game in the middle of nowhere on this patch of turf that they put down on a dirt field, and Coach Schmidt's like, hey, like, heard you're breaking the law out there. And I remember I was like, I'm breaking the law, like, what are you hearing that I'm not?
Yeah.
From the moment I talked to Coach Schmidt, Coach I was just always like a real awesome bond that they had, and made me feel seen and heard and connected, something really special. And they were the only D2 school that showed interest in me, and so I was like, you know what, like, I'm gonna do it. I had two buddies that were coming here, made the decision a little bit easier, but I was like, I'm gonna do it. I remember I called Coach Iver the day before signing day, and I hadn't visited Northern or nothing, been on a couple of FaceTimes, and that was it. And I was like, hey, like, I'm committing, like, I'm doing this. He's like, all right, need you to send me all this stuff. And then I was like, oh wait, am I getting any money for this, or am I just walking on? He's like, no, he's like, we don't have any money for you. I'm like, all right, that's fine, like, I'm still doing this. Mm-hmm. It made it a mentality that, like, the walk-on mentality, like, you always got to work, you always got to do what you got to do, take pride in your schoolwork, take pride in the little things, and, you know, make impacts where you can. So from then on, the stadium wasn't even built yet, it was mm-hmm. just dirt field, but I saw the vision, saw where we wanted to go here at Northern, and the opportunity just kind of came with it, and took it and ran.
And you stuck it out. That's amazing, especially nowadays where everyone's hitting the transfer mm-hmm. portal. So stuck it out. That's pretty cool. What's it like playing on Saturday nights at Dakota Bank Stadium?
There's nothing else like it. I have a video from my freshman year running out of the tunnel as a redshirt freshman with all these guys in the first stadium, or in the first game in the stadium, and it was just electric. Like, it's one of those things where it's like you dream of, like, as a kid, and then, you know, you start to get older, you're like, okay, maybe I'm not going to Oregon or Alabama or these schools that you want to go to. Maybe I'm not going to play in the Coliseum. I'm like, okay, like, being a little bit more realistic with myself, but you still get that same atmosphere here. That, like, the idea of running out of a tunnel with the whole stands cheering, you got all these little kids waiting for you after the game to sign autographs. You get that here in Very Aberdeen, cool. which is, you don't get that anywhere else. And I think that is awesome that it's one of, if not the best game day atmosphere in small college football. And I think it's by a long shot.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Best uniform combo that you guys have at Northern?
Ooh, I got to say what we're wearing today, the all blacks. I think the black helmets are a nice touch. You know, when we got the yellow pants or the gold pants, I was not a fan of them at first. And then our first game at USF, when we went white, white, gold, I was like, all right, like that is sick. So I've become very fond of the gold pants. I don't think we have a bad jersey combination, but all blacks is just a statement piece.
Yeah, you can't beat all black. Any pregame superstitions for you?
I always joke, I'm not superstitious, I'm a little stitious.
Yeah.
If you know where that's from shout out Michael Scott in the office.
That's right.
I'm a pretty superstitious person. I try to, funny enough, and might be a little TMI, but try to wear the same underwear for every game. I have a pair of, they have rubber ducks on them. They're lucky ducks. So I try to wear those. Only if they're clean, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
But I always try to do kind of the same routine. And then I always have, there's one song that I always listen to before I walk out. It's a really, really meaningful song to me and my family. It's called Brohim by Pennywise.
Okay.
Listen to the live version of it. Long story short, it's just, it's real meaningful to me and my family. And that's kind of been like our song as a family.
Isn't that more like pop punk or punk rock?
It's punk, straight punk.
Okay.
We're a big punk family. We go to Punk in the Park every year whenever we could. We're a big punk family. My dad grew up around it. SoCal was the area of punk.
Yeah.
So listen to Pennywise. And so Brohim is always the last song that I listen to. And it's kind of the one that kind of gets you amped up, not overly amped up, but it reminds you of why you're playing this game and who you're playing it for. And I think it's just a real good reminder before I go out on the field.
I was going to say, I'm a huge Angels and Airwaves fan. And I think we've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily punk, but kind of from that same Tom DeLonge cut from that exactly. same cloth kind of thing. So big fan of that. So sports marketing major, you want to mm-hmm. get into sports broadcasting. I think there's a career for you on that. in that, obviously. Tell me about your relationship with South Dakota Sports Scene's Dave Vilhauer.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. So it started, we were doing Behind the Pack, me and John Jaglin were. We got put on this podcast panel. On this podcast panel, there was Massonomics, Brody Mueller from mm-hmm. The Pheasant Canteen Studio. He got me in contact. He was like, hey, like, D3 you want a job? And I was like, sure. Like, what does this job entail? He's like, oh, like, there's this high school sports reporting company. I'll get you in contact with the owner. I'm like, all right, cool. Nothing really happened over that year because Dave is Dave and Dave is as busy as Dave can be.
Yeah.
It was really cool over the summer. Kind of got in contact with him and been covering high school sports for the last year now. And it's been amazing. Covered South Dakota volleyball, the track, state bees and basketball. Like, it's just, it's so cool. And I think for the future, it's helped me resume build, obviously, but it's helped me get comfortable with a lot of sports. I was in, like, obviously football, grew up playing baseball, grew up around softball, being around basketball, volleyball, wrestling, track, like all these different sports that, like, I wasn't too knowledgeable with. And now I am. Dave is an awesome person to work with and to work under, and a great business to work for. I cover 35 or 36 high schools within about a 2-hour radius of Aberdeen. It's so cool going out in public and covering these games, and you have parents coming up to you, oh my gosh, thank you so much for covering so-and-so, covering this game. And it's just like, it's really, really cool to kind of see the impact that he's making, and I'm able to help him make as well. Now with more hands on deck, now we can cover more things and cover more high school games and talk to more kids and get names out there. So it's just, it's real awesome.
Yeah, working with Dave at the radio station before he started his own thing, you know, he's definitely probably one of the most hardest working guys in broadcasting and media that there is. There's no two ways about it. It's all the football questions I got for you. So you're pretty tatted up, right?
Yes.
Walk me through the ink here a little bit.
I grew up around tattoos my entire life. Both my parents have tattoos, and it was always something, ever since I was little, I was like, I want to get a tattoo. So the first one I got was across my forearm. So I got that one December of my freshman year. Really cool story, because my dad's buddy, who did just about all of his tattoos, he stopped tattooing, and it was like family friend kind of thing. And he only, like, he did tattoos. He had a tattoo shop and stuff. He went in and did those tattoos for, like, my dad and all his buddies. So he hit him up, and he was like, hey, like, can I bring you out of retirement, do my son's first tattoo?
Nice.
So shout out Jesse. He did that for me. And then going on from there, so I got Jeremiah 29:11 tattooed on my tricep. My grandma was diagnosed with ALS when I was in, what would have been, fifth grade, I think it was.
Okay.
And she battled ALS for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, which is unheard of.
That's incredible.
Strongest person I know by far. You know, starts going downhill and stuff. And one of the last conversations I ever had with her, like being able to talk with her back and forth, was, what's your favorite Bible verse? I'm going to go get it tattooed. So she told me it was Jeremiah 29:11. She wasn't talking that much at that time, but she pointed to, she's got a, you know, like one of those things that's up on the wall. It says Jeremiah 29:11. I have plans for you, declare the Lord, plans to give you hope in the future, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And I think that's just such a good motto to live by, that there's always a plan for you, no matter what you're doing, no matter how hard it may seem. So I got that for her. I think that was probably one of the last text messages I sent to her, was a picture of that in the tattoo shop. Mm. So it was really cool to get that, and to always, you know, play with my Grammy on my tricep. After that, it was the one on my calf. It's a cowboy hat, cowboy boots, and cowboy belt buckle. And so there's three siblings. It's me, my older sister, Haley, and my younger brother, Luke, who plays at Black Hills. We're pretty Western family, being from LA, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Paul Malsoff always gives me a hard time about it, saying I'm a modern cowboy. But I like to, like, I've always been interested in it. And so my sister had a pair of pink cowgirl boots when she was little. So she's the boots. My brother had a hat, cowboy hat, that he had that he was little, and he started wearing cowboy hats before any of us started doing that, like, normally. So he's the hat. I'm the belt buckle, and it's a belt with a C on it for our last name, Clay. Mm-hmm. When my great grandpa passed, I got his belt buckle. It says Mac on it. His last name is McPherson. So it says Mac, and it's got a really cool belt buckle on it and stuff. So that was kind of me. So that's a little signifying. And then this one on my forearm, it's Kaizen, which is Japanese for the cycle of good change.
Okay.
Always been infatuated by Japanese culture and stuff. And fun fact, my girlfriend's Japanese. Her mom's from Japan. It was an exchange student in college, and that's how she got here.
Okay.
So before I got tattooed, I was like, hey, is this actually what it means? Like, I need to make
yeah,
sure.
You need to make sure, yes.
I'm not getting something else tattooed on my arm.
Punch me right here.
Literally.
Yeah.
Going back, Chago, which was one of my sister's teammates' dads, did the one on my calf, and then this one on my forearm. So I shot him the idea, and I was like, I think I wanted, like, cherry blossoms around it, so it's not just Kaizen. It's like a culture thing. And so went and got that done by him, and I got more in plan. I just haven't had the money to get it done.
It'll happen at some point in time. I had Gabe on the program last year.
It's his uncle, so he gets free tattoos, basically.
Well, but that's just it. Is it's never finished.
No,
you're always, it's a continuous, everlasting process. Favorite place to eat here in Aberdeen?
Dulce's, by far. No question about it. Dulce's Hispanic store is my go-to. When I first got here my freshman year, we had this running stint that we were the only Mexicans in South Dakota because I'm a quarter Mexican and I'm very proud of my heritage. And my other three roommates were all Mexican, like full Mexican. So we're like, we need to find a Mexican shop. Shout out my buddy Ben Moore. He was the one who actually found it. And he was like, yeah, you guys got to try it. Like, I think it's like the best Mexican shop here in town. So we went and it was amazing. Prices are amazing. And it's just like, it's the closest thing that I get to at home Mexican food. So shout out Dulce's Hispanic store.
Favorite sports teams and why?
So I'm an Angels fan. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Tongue twister of a team to say.
Yeah.
Grew up an Angels fan ever since I was little. That's just the family team. And then I'm also a Packers fan. Which is weird. Everybody's always like, how are you a Packers fan if you're from L.A.? Mm-hmm. My grandpa's cousin played for them back in the 80s. I think it was Brian Noble. He's a middle linebacker for them. So that's how it was. Like, my grandpa was like, oh, my cousin's playing for them. I'm going to be a fan of them. And then it just passed down to my dad and then to me. So
favorite movie of all time?
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I'm a big Marvel guy. Not like a huge Marvel geek, but I'm a big Marvel guy. Watching that movie was, I think it was the perfect combination of comedy, action, and then also like the story behind it, the whole Rocket story. I did cry during that movie, which is insane that a superhero movie made me cry, but it did. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
You know what? I cry in other stuff. And we're going to leave that part off the air. Hidden talents. What do you got up your sleeve?
I can drive stick shift. Ooh. I got to say, that's probably something that, especially in LA, not a lot of people can drive stick shift.
Yeah, that's unique.
It is very unique. My dad, when my sister was learning how to drive, he's like, you're learning how to drive stick. I remember my sister was so frustrated. I'm not driving stick. I'm not doing it. Got her a stick truck. So he was like, you got to learn how to drive stick. So this is your car. I got to say, stick shift is probably my hidden talent.
What's one song that you hear every time you hear it, whenever it comes on, you have to sing along with it?
I'm always singing. I'm always listening to music. I'm going to go with any of those like pop punk songs, a lot of Green Day, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Can't think of anything off the top of the dome.
I feel like Manos last year in the bus, who's always just, where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you? And I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So it's definitely something along those lines. We like to go to the RNA after post game, sing karaoke there. So
nice.
Those are some good times and good songs. Wyatt Block is an amazing singer. Got to get him to sing.
Really?
Amazing singer. Ooh. It's actually him. And Zach Kraft.
Okay, interesting. I would not have known that. Will we ever live on Mars one day?
I think so. I think there's a lot of technology advancements. Don't see why people wouldn't wear suits to have oxygen. So I can see it.
Best dad joke.
Okay, I'm going to tell the dad joke that I heard on the sideline when I was getting my foot checked out. So I'm getting it checked out by the doctors. Doctor just come in. There's two of them. And they're looking at it, and he goes, well, I got good news for you. I'm like, all right, what's good news? We don't have to cut off your foot. I'm like, all right.
Thanks.
So classic dad joke. I was like, all right, I just got told my season might be done, but comedic relief. I'm all right with that.
Yeah. I did the exact same thing with my daughter here not that long ago. Like, she stubbed her toe, and I was like, well, I guess we might have to amputate.
Yeah, we got
to
cut it off. So
classic dad joke.
It is.
Favorite old school jam? I feel like you've got a lot up your sleeve for that
one. I do. I do have a lot up the sleeve for that one. Anything by Queen is always a classic. Rhinestone Cowboy. Glenn Campbell has been on the mind recently. I just posted that to my Instagram post. I like a lot of old Western music, so anything along that lines, but Rhinestone Cowboy is probably the one that's been on top of my head right now.
Okay. Last person you sent a text message to?
My girlfriend, Mira. She just got back to school. We do long distance. She's in nursing school at Mankato, actually, funny enough. So,
ironic.
Horns down. So she just got back to school yesterday. She left yesterday. She came for the game this past weekend. So I was talking to her and checking out on how she's doing with how busy both of our lives are. It's real quick. Hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. I'm not feeling good. I'm going to do the interview with Tukes right now. Mm-hmm. So that was the last thing.
Right on. One thing that's on your bucket list.
On the bucket list, I gotta go with traveling Europe. Me and my girlfriend have talked about it all the time, but going and traveling Europe, kind of backpacking through Europe. We had a little road trip two summers ago going to California. We camped out and stuff. It was a blast. So
I want to fully
dive into that, and especially in Europe. I mean, Germany and Switzerland, all that stuff.
A lot of history over there.
A lot of history. And I like castles. I think castles are cool.
Sure. So. Yeah, that's not a bad thing on the bucket list for sure. What's one thing that's happened to you that's made you stronger?
Just the whole idea of being a walk-on. Mm-hmm. I think this whole thing has kind of that's how I live my life, is being a walk-on, is that like, you got to do the best, very best at what you can do and what you can control. I remember, so my sister was a walk-on at University of Hawaii to play softball too. So she had the same thing. So kind of talking to her, and it was just like, you got to do the things that you can do, the things that you can control. So I remember I took a lot of pride in lifting and stuff, making sure I was doing whatever I could during the weight room. School, I had a 4.0 my first semester. I had 1B my second semester. I have a 3.9 cumulative GPA right now.
Wow.
Taking a lot of pride in doing that things and doing everything I can to show, like, for the first year and a couple of games, it was showing everything I can to Coach Schmidt to be like, hey, this is why I should be on scholarship. I have everything. My grades are good. Like, I'm not leaving anything to question. So I got to say, just being the whole walk-on mentality is kind of what stuck with me.
3.9 GPA. Look at you go. That's amazing. What do you think about when you're alone in your car?
So I struggle pretty tough with, you know, just like mental struggles. I struggle with like anxiety and, you know, depression at times. It's nothing diagnosed, but so alone in my car is usually some of like the hardest times for me, where it's just like, well, what do I got to do? Usually mine starts racing, and then it's always getting back to a point of stability and getting back to, we work out with Chris Goodman all the time, our mental mm-hmm. performance coach. I know Coach Schmidt talks about it all the time, but it's getting back to like red, yellow, green. Well, like when I'm in red, I'm like, hey, what do I got to do to get in yellow? Kind of calm myself down, get into green, be like, all right, like a lot of times it evolves into, you know, you're here for a reason. You belong. You deserve this. Be confident in yourself. Have fun. Play loose. Go have some fun. So usually not good thoughts when I'm alone in my car.
Sure.
But it progresses into good things, and it progresses into turning my day around and kind of doing that.
You're in green right now, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Always. As of right now, I've been in green a lot of the times, and even with this stupid boot on, it's a lot of promise, and it's really nice to kind of have this outlook and see how much I've grown through all these mental struggles.
Good for you. It's only going to make you stronger at the end of the day.
Exactly.
What would your pet say about you if I asked it for a reference?
Probably that I don't feed him enough. I have a pet. I have a cat named OC, which is short for Orange Cat.
Okay.
So real thought into the name there.
Sure.
So he walked in on us. We were grilling outside at my old house, and he literally walked in. We fed him because he was looking skinny. He was a stray cat. Mm-hmm. And then walked into our house, and then ever since then, it's been my cat. I just like free fed him, just had a bowl of food. He got really overweight pretty quickly because I think he was like in that mindset like, oh, I'm never going to get fed. I'm not going to get fed again. I don't know when I'm going to get fed. So he got pretty overweight. So when I took him to the vet, they're like, yeah, he's overweight. Should probably cut down on some of the food. So now I have him on the time feeder. And it's so funny because he knows when it's coming because he'll come up to me and start like yelling at me, like mm-hmm. feed me. Like my feeder hasn't gone off. I'm like, dude, it's about to go off in a minute. Like you got to wait. So he would definitely say I starve him, even though I don't. He's a very healthy weight. A
little more food, please. Blake Clay's nickname.
So growing up, I was grass sniper. Because in football, yeah, the teams and coaches and stuff would always say, like, you never know where I'm coming from. And then all of a sudden you see the guy on the floor. Because I would just like, they were like, you're like a little grass ninja. You're a little grass sniper. Go in. And then progressed Swiss Army knife. I don't really have anything now. Actually, yes, I do. So our old defense coordinator used to call me Razor Blake. Don't know why it started. And for the guys that were here during that time, they still call me Razor. So couldn't tell you exactly why, but it's just Razor Blake.
I like grass sniper. That looks,
yeah, that's an OG one. That's from a while ago.
I like it. Would you ever swim with sharks if given the chance?
No, I don't like sharks. Even growing up in LA in the ocean, I was always surfing and boogie boarding and stuff, but no, yeah. I got to pass on that.
That's a big hard pass. I think this next one works for you, especially given the fact that you kind of like the comic book stuff, the Marvel stuff. Mm-hmm. You've just been transported into an animated universe. What TV show would you like to be on?
I'm going to go with Phineas and Ferb.
Somebody said that last year.
Go with the childhood cartoons. If I can hang out with Phineas and Ferb and watch them build cool stuff and go on a helicopter or go on roller coasters in their backyard and creating tidal waves, like, yeah.
That's all over my head, but that's totally fine. What's the most useless thing in the world right now?
My girlfriend's not going to like this one because she got this really fancy alarm clock that was like $150, a Hatch alarm clock.
Okay.
And I was giving her a hard time about it. I'm like, my phone works perfectly fine. She's like, but it creates a sunset and it creates a mood for, you know, it's kind of grown on me a little bit, but I would go with that. And she's not going to like that, but sorry.
Well, this is radio after all. People can't see this, but come on, give me a break. Next up, I got a segment called This or That, kind of rapid fire. Being nice or being honest?
Be nice. I'm a nice guy.
Winning in a blowout or winning in the last minute?
The last minute. More memories.
Interception or a forced fumble?
Interception.
Apple or Android?
Apple.
Hosting or interviewing?
See, this is weird. I got to go with probably interviewing.
Okay. Summer or fall?
Summer.
Text message or Snapchat?
Text.
Facial hair or baby face?
Facial hair.
Coffee or tea?
Neither. I don't drink either.
Okay. Solid or liquid?
Solid.
maroon or gold?
Maroon.
Defending against a long drive or defending against a 2-minute drill?
Long drive. I have asthma, so I can't. I can't.
Makes sense. You're sleeping at night. Are you going window open or window closed?
Window closed.
Okay. Drawings or paintings?
Paintings.
Facebook or Twitter?
Twitter.
Rock and roll or country music?
I'm going to go country.
Okay. Bacon or sausage?
Sausage.
Work hard or play hard?
Both. I'm going to go both on that one.
Driver or passenger?
Driver.
Favorite Halloween candy?
Candy corn.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a candy corn kind of guy.
Interesting.
Yep.
Cooper Logan said the exact same thing.
Let's go, Coop. Come on.
That's seriously like such a hot take.
It is.
Some people either love it or hate it.
Yeah. There's no in between.
Interesting. Couch or a recliner?
Couch.
You're at the movies. You go in candy or popcorn?
Candy.
Pen or pencil?
Pen.
Quiet or loud?
Quiet.
Save or spend?
Save.
Brand name stuff or generic?
It depends.
Depends on what?
What I'm getting. I'll get generic food all the way. I got to get some brand name. I got to wear Nike and stuff like that. So,
okay.
Depends.
Blondes, brunettes?
Brunettes.
Okay.
Mary Jane. That's my brunette.
There you go. Bunch of would you rathers. Feel free to elaborate on any of these if you'd like.
Okay.
Would you rather have the first bite of pizza scald you every single time or never eat pizza ever again?
A scald. I'll take it.
Would you rather be just friends with every girl forever or marry somebody who's really not all in with you? It's toughy.
That is a tough one. Probably be just friends.
Would you rather cut off your pinky or pay $2,000 to your worst enemy?
I'll cut off my pinky. I'm saving. I'm saving money.
Wow. Mr. Ronnie Lott over here. Would you rather see Freddy Krueger in your dreams or see Norman Bates at a hotel, like from the movie Psycho?
Freddy Krueger. I don't think I could deal with seeing it in person.
That would freak me out.
Yeah.
Would you rather have all traffic lights you approach always go green or never have to stand in line ever again?
I'm not standing in line. If I can go to the front, I'll do it.
There you go. Would you rather be the sandcastle or would you rather be the wave?
The wave. I think waves are cool.
Would you rather live without the internet or live without air conditioning?
Air conditioning. I don't have air conditioning at my house in California.
Oof.
Yeah.
Ouch.
The summers kind of get tough.
I can imagine. Finally, would you rather live without music or live without TV?
I'll live without TV.
I feel like you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I'm a big music guy.
No doubt about it. Finally, word association here. We'll wrap things up with rapid fire. I'll say a word or a phrase and whatever comes to your mind, just come out and say it, okay?
Cool.
California.
Home.
La Serna High School.
Oh, Lancers.
Dakota Bank Stadium.
Fun.
Northern State University.
Just great.
South Dakota.
Cold.
Everyone always says cold. Football season.
The best.
Autumn.
Football season.
Number 37.
Legacy.
Is that the number that you always wanted or?
No. I joke around, it's my walk-on number. But okay. I think it's created a legacy for who I was and wanted to switch a couple of years ago, wasn't able to. And so I was like, you know what? I've made 37 kind of who I am and it's my walk-on number. My family already has jerseys and stuff with it. So I was like, let's just keep it.
Awesome. One of my all-time favorite Seahawks, Sean Alexander.
Yeah.
37 as well. So it's one of my favorites. Name, image, and likeness.
Money. And you can get some money from it. So it's good.
There you go. Interception.
Turnover.
Special teams.
Me.
Special teams All-American.
Yeah.
Doritos.
Locos Tacos.
Pickles.
I think of Wyatt Block's dog from back home, Pickles.
Nice. Red Robin.
Yum.
Yeah, that's good. Good response. Chicken wings.
Not a fan of chicken, so that's just meh.
Kind of a pass for you.
Yeah.
All right. Escargot.
Too expensive. Overrated.
Okay. Cruise.
I think you kind of get locked in. I don't know how I feel about a cruise.
Okay. You ever taken one before?
I have not.
They're different. They're unique.
Yeah.
Outer space.
Unknown.
Keegan Mountain.
Zero. Agent Zero.
Elijah Jopp.
Dude, Jopper. I just always think of him the first day he moved to DB, backpedaling. That was funny because we were all trying to teach him how to backpedal, and he just wasn't getting it. Now, see how far he's gone. It's awesome.
Yeah, because he started as a linebacker, right?
Yeah.
Lorenzo Jones.
My guy, Lowe.
He's got to get that pick six.
He's got to.
It's coming.
It's coming. Dude. Oh, yeah. He's got it. It's coming. It's coming.
It's coming. T.Y. Young.
T.Y. his squishmallow named Drake. When I do those like bus interviews, one of the questions was, what do you do on the bus past time? He's like, I just cut with my squishmallow. His name is Drake. I was like, all right.
I love it.
Cool.
Nice. Kyle Thomas.
Oh, Orange County.
Andrew Ewald.
Oh, Drew, we were talking about playing MLB The Show, so the MLB The Show guy.
Okay.
And same thing with Kyle. We've tried to, we haven't been able to, but we've been trying to get a little three-man running.
It'll happen.
Yep.
Richard Prescott.
Oh, Rich. Richie Rich. Just the block punt. I think that was awesome.
Great play by him for sure.
Great play. Wouldn't have done anything without him. So shout out Rich.
You did finish it off there. Jeremy Caruso.
Jeremy thinks that he can hit off any pitcher at Northern right now, baseball pitcher at Northern. So we want to put that to the test.
You know, he's got a lot of confidence.
He does.
And it doesn't matter about anything. whatever, he's just confident about it.
He he won state tennis in Florida.
Right.
Yeah, he played baseball. When we did that softball thing, he hit off the softball pitcher. Yeah, anything, he's just like, I'm good at it. He's got a pickleball. He's really good at pickleball. So.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go long snapping.
I always joke around that my kids are going to be long snappers. You don't have to take a toll on the body. You can get a full red scholarship. It's an unsung hero kind of thing. So,
how do you figure out you're a good long snapper? How does one figure that out?
I think it started in youth football. And it was just, hey, my coach Kevin Gothier was like, who's played baseball before you knew I played baseball? He's like, who's played baseball? Usually baseball guys can long snap for whatever reason.
Hmm.
So I was like, all right. So I kind of did it there. And then in high school, just kind of picked it up. And same thing, was like, who can long snap? So I was always like kind of a long snapper. And then just kind of perfected it. Actually, fun story. So Duluth's long snapper, Michael Arona, was kind of who I started picking up long snapping from. His dad used to coach my sister in softball. So he'd be at the games. Really small world. He'd be at the softball games, and me and my brother would be at the softball games. And he was always a long snapper. That was all that he did. And so he would teach us how to long snap. So that's kind of where I perfected it. And so then he came to Duluth, and he posted on his Instagram. Didn't know he played like JUCO ball. And I was like, oh, I'll see you October 11th. So then saw him after the game and stuff, talked to him for a quick minute. So fun little story.
Now you have that to kind of dangle over his head. Very cool. Jake Irie.
We've done so much with the media and stuff through him and with the help of him. And then he was also one of the first, I think he was the first person I talked to at Northern. So back when he was a GA and the safeties coach, actually. So
speaking of safeties coaches, secondary coach Jason Glasgow.
Super knowledgeable. I think Coach Glasgow is one of the most knowledgeable people I've been around. Just his knowledge of the game and knowing what's coming and stuff, it's helped me and him match pretty well because we're both very knowledgeable. So we kind of bounce ideas off.
Head coach Mike Schmidt.
He's just a gamer. He's one of those guys. He's someone you want to play for, someone that you want on your side of the ring. It's just awesome to have Coach Schmidt in our corner all the time.
Your family.
I miss him, but it's been awesome. My mom actually has been here for 3 weeks or 2 weeks. She got here for the Duluth game and then has stayed since, and she'll leave. My brother's playing football at Black Hills. He's on his bye week, so hopefully he's going to be able to come up here for this weekend. And then my sister's back home, and her and fiance are doing wedding planning stuff. And
nice.
My dad's, whenever he can, he's here. So it's awesome, the sacrifices that they make for me and the stuff that they do for me. It's just a blessing.
Excellent. Finally, Blake Clay.
I think you're just overall nice guy. I think I want people to say good things about me. I hope that they do, and I try to make a good impact on whoever I meet and leave a good light from those conversations and kind of, I don't know, I just try to be the best guy I can be.
I think everyone's going to say very much positive things about you. Any shout-outs to family, friends, to kind of wrap things up a little bit?
Yeah, obviously, shout-out my mom for being here and doing my laundry. It was funny. My girlfriend was like, oh, your mom's saying she's going to do your laundry, right? And I was like, oh, maybe. And so she talked to my mom. I was like, absolutely, I'm going to do his laundry.
Yes.
So I've had clean clothes for a while now, which is awesome. Shout out my girlfriend. She's been making, so she's in nursing school right now, and she's been making the trip whenever she can, whenever she's not in clinicals in the city, she's here. And for her to take 5 hours out of her busy weekend to come here is, or 10 hours total there and back, is amazing. So shout out her. Shout out my dad for making it all work and always being in my corner and having my back. And through all the tough struggles and stuff, he's always been there. My brother Luke, my sister Haley, my sister just kind of setting the tone of how to be a collegiate athlete. Me and my brother growing up, we're all 2 years apart, so we're all really close in age. Mm-hmm. And so just growing up, having, you know, one of those built-in best friends, obviously it didn't seem like that at times.
Yeah.
But so shout out. I got to say, those are probably the people I got to shout out.
I've got two older brothers, both, again, 2 years apart, so I totally can sympathize.
Yep.
I know how that goes. That's the senior specialist, again, the special teams All-American from California, Blake Clay, on today's installment of PacChat. Thanks again for doing this. Get healthy, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you, Tukes. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.